The problem is that when you're trying to build a complete Technicolor model, then usually you run into problems with flavor-changing neutral currents, the four Fermi operators that are generated by the strong dynamics, and by the exchange of these composite spin bond objects will lead to very large flavor-changing neutral currents. And usually you would need to introduce some flavor symmetry into the theory in order to eliminate these flavor-changing neutral currents. And that turned out to be very hard in traditional Technicolor type theories. This is the famous or infamous example from 1993, where Lisa was able to find an implementation of a lot of gauge groups that were in the end giving you a gym mechanism. And so clearly, you know, you would think that somehow nature would probably be simpler than that. I was in Yale last week and I showed this to Vitek, and he was unhappy that I reminded him of his of his past when he had to work out the phenomenology of this theory. Imagine if you're a grad student and your advisor tells you work out the phenomenology of this model.
It turned out okay.
Put hair on his chest.
So in the last few years we have realized that some extra dimensional theories are actually dual to Technicolor like models, and so these are the kind of setups that we call Hicksless models. And the typical setup in this case would be to use boundary conditions to break the electrolytic symmetry on the TED brain, and in order to get rid of large correction to the T parameter, you would actually put, instead of just the usual electroweak SU2 cross U1 gauge group, you would put a full custodial symmetry into the bulk of this setup. And as I said, you would break on the Planck brain, you would reduce the gauge group to just the normal electroweak gauge group, and on the TV brain, you would break the electroweak symmetry. Okay, so the main problem with these models, just like one of the other big problems of Technicolor models, is the S parameter. What we find that in the simplest setup, now we cannot blame calculability for, you know, saying, well, the S parameter would be large, but we can't calculate it. We can calculate it. That's the whole point of these extra dimensional duals, and it does turn out to be pretty large. And we have checked together with Giacomo and John and Christoph that actually adding some localized terms doesn't really help in reducing the S parameter. And the only way we were able to come up with canceling the effects of this S parameter is not by reducing it, but by sort of manufacturing another set of large corrections to the electroweak Lagrangian, namely a vertex correction between the standard model fermions and the gauge fields, which will also be large and then would actually always come in tandem with this large S parameter and will actually cancel the effects in the lab experiments. Okay, so for this, we have to actually play with the profile of the standard model fermions in the extra dimension. So there is this parameter that I will later explain a little more, the C parameter, that is basically controlling what the profile of these fermion fields along the extra dimension are. And what you can see is that there is a small region in this parameter C where the effective S parameter actually vanishes. Okay. So that's nice. Of course, you know, there is a lot of price to pay for doing this. Namely, you have to do some tuning in the C parameter, and we have seen that you can maybe estimate maybe it's of the order of a few percent. Another price that you pay is coming into flavor physics, namely the fact that as soon as you are peeling the fermions away from the Planck brain, the suppression scale for flavor changing four Fermi operators will be lowered. If the fermions are on the Planck brain, since the suppression scale there is very high, these four Fermi operators are not very dangerous. But as soon as they are, you make them more and more flat, this typical scale for the suppression of these four Fermi operators is growing as a function of this same C parameter that we are trying to play with to cancel the S parameter. And you can see that already for the C equals a half, which would mean that the fermions are exactly flat, the suppression scale is already too low, and we actually even need to go a little bit below that. Okay, so clearly, without an additional layer of flavor symmetries, there will be very large flavor change in neutral currents in this setup. So there will be no way to reproduce the standard model CKM matrix without getting flavor change in neutral current effects. Okay, so that was one set of motivations for trying to add a Gym mechanism into an extra dimensional Randall syndrome setup. And the second set of motivation comes from models of flavor using warped extra dimensions. And in the last few years, people have been pretty successful in actually generating the fermion mass hierarchy by playing with the same C parameter that I was telling you that I can use to eliminate the S parameter in Hickesless models. But instead, what they were doing is they wouldn't go very close to C equals a half for the light fermions, but rather realize that if you play with the C parameters, you will get a different profile for the fermions along the extra dimension. So if the Higgs is localized on the TEV brain, the more a fermion is localized on the Planck brain, the less the overlap of this fermion with the Higgs is going to turn out on the IR brain. And the effective Yukawa coupling will be, of course, given by the Yukawa coupling on this brain multiplied by the wave function, by the tail of this wave function for the light fermions. So this way you can actually generate the fermion mass hierarchy. Okay, so this is this famous idea of Arkadianhammer and Schmaltz. Though they were doing it in a flat extra dimension, there it's actually harder to get a realistic model. And then, of course, there were the incarnations in the warped extra dimensional theories. And what is really nice about these models is that at the same time when you get the fermion mass hierarchy, you will also get the right hierarchy for the CKM angles. Okay, and also you will get some suppression in the four Fermi operators that will be flavor changing in this theory. However, it turns out that this suppression may not be enough. Okay, and here is this table from the UT FIT collaboration, which did a model independent analysis on the coefficients of certain four Fermi operators. So these would be constraints that are coming from K-on physics, and these 1, 2, 3, those are just telling you what kind of indices are contracted in the DS bar type 4 Fermi operator. And of course, real part and imaginary part are telling you whether it's coming from CP violation or coming just from KK bar mixing. And you can see that some of these parameters are actually extremely sensitive to new physics. So just to be impressed by it, I was very impressed when I saw these numbers, that actually some of these operators are constrained not only at the level of 10 to the 3 TeV, but really at the level of 10 to the 5 TeV. Okay, so these are probably some of the strongest bounds that we have on new physics beyond the standard model. And it turns out that in some of these RS flavor type models, actually, you would have to raise the scale of the KK gauge bosons to more like 8 or 9 TeV in order to be in agreement with this type of bounds. Okay? But of course, it's important that these bounds are coming from a certain type of operator, and it's only mostly coming from the imaginary parts of those operators.
Is that true? Really? I mean, I thought, so first of all, I thought that usually the story, I mean, these numbers for the real part, 10,000 TeV is what the number I always remember back from my graduate student days for the real part.
That's right, yeah.
And so aren't those the dangerous operators? Because, I mean, these other ones depend on how you implement CP violation.
Yeah,
right?
So
that's
exactly
the same thing as when I was a graduate. I mean, there's nothing. This may be more precise, but nothing's really changed, has it?
I think you're right. It's just that I didn't know much about flavor physics until
okay,
two months ago. So
no,
to me, it's new. But this is I think this is probably the first really completely model independent bound on, you know, just writing down a set of four Fermi operators. But maybe not, I don't know.
So there's no CP violation when you just need to look at the real time.
Exactly. And I think the way they found this bound is they would be turning on, you know, these operators one by one.
The fourth one, which has the strongest one, is the left right.
That's right, yes, exactly.
I think the only thing that's probably, I don't know, I mean, lattice results have certainly gotten better. I don't know if they help you here or something. But
actually, I don't think that's quite right. I think the first one, I think all of these guys are probably left right. They're just different contractions. But certainly, you know, this number has, you know, has this left, left, right, right structure in the four Fermi operators. Okay. Anyway, all I'm trying to say is that just taking an RS model without a flavor symmetry generically will not obey these bounds. Okay. And so that may be an additional motivation for us to include flavor symmetries in this, into this theory.
So then Kostov and guys, have they come up with an actual number for what they claim is the 3K mass?
Yeah, so that's what I think is 90.
90.
Yeah. Okay. Now, of course, you know, you may just say, well, maybe there is an additional fine tuning and the phase is just not there.
And that's the KK. Which guy is 9 TeV?
It's the KK gauge bosons. Those are roughly degenerate with each other. So, because, yeah. So the KK gluon, I guess the number that they quote usually is for the KK gluon.
Sorry, Chapa, the bound is coming from this 2 × 10^5.
Yeah.
And
that's right.
So
if the imaginary part is zero, yes, then they wouldn't, you know, then this bound wouldn't apply. Yes, you would still have to look at the others, but so this is assuming there's a new source for CP violation.
It's an order of magnitude.
Basically, yes. Actually not even that much, yes. Yeah. Anyway, the claim from Kostov and Gilad is that, you know, if you don't have these CP sources for CP violation, you can get away with a 2 to 3 TeV KK gauge boson, and that bound you probably get from electrolytic precision anyway. Yes. So if you didn't have CP violation, then you would probably be okay with just this, the electrolytic precision bounds. Okay. So these are the motivations to try to understand if we could possibly build an extra-dimensional model where there is a flavor symmetry in the bulk, and that would actually give you a full Jing mechanism in the theory. Okay. So what I should emphasize here is that we will, of course, the price to pay for this Jing mechanism will be to give up on the solution of the flavor hierarchy problem. Okay, so in this part of the talk, I will not be trying to explain why the top mass is so much heavier than the electron mass. On the other hand, I will really have a complete Jing mechanism in the theory. Okay, so what we then want is, as I said, we want to protect the bulk and the TeV brain from flavor-changing neutral currents. So the simplest thing to say is to proclaim that actually the reason why it is so is because the bulk has a large flavor symmetry and the TeV brain itself has a large flavor symmetry. I mean, the largest one that is still capable of producing some form of masses for you, some form of fermion masses. And since I protected myself from flavor changing effects completely in the bulk and on the TeV brain, there has to be some place where I'm breaking the flavor symmetry. So, in our case, that's only the Planck brain, yes. And again, the reason is that if I don't protect the bulk and the TeV brain, and I can write down these four Fermi operators, and they generically, at least in the Hitzless case, for sure, even the bulk operators will turn out to be too large and run into the flavor constraints. Okay. On the other hand, on the Planck brain, of course, you didn't have SU2 cross U1 broken, so the electroweak K gauge group is unbroken on the Planck plane. So there is no way to write down mass terms for your chiral theory. So the only way you can do that is by then adding kinetic mixing terms for the fermions on the Planck plane. Okay. So normally you would say that kinetic mixing terms are not very important because, at least in the standard model, you can just, you know, go into a different basis and shove all your kinetic mixings into the Yukawa couplings, and you said you had the most general Yukawa coupling anyway, so these kinetic mixing terms are not important in general. However, here, of course, what we have is we have some brain localized kinetic terms and we have a bulk kinetic term, and what we'll be saying is that the brain kinetic terms are misaligned compared to the bulk kinetic terms, and that misalignment between the kinetic terms can actually be a physical effect. Okay, so that's like saying that really the standard model fermions are actually a mixture of some bulk fermions and some brain fermions, and they are not, the kinetic terms of these two type of fermions are not diagonal in the same basis, and then this misalignment can become physical, and it will in this case. Okay? And what you'll find is that actually you need to add kinetic mixing terms for the right-handed quarks on the Planck brain, but not for the left-handed quarks. Okay? So I can show that using this kind of setup, there really will be no flavor-changing neutral current at all in this model. And the reason is that in the neutral current sector, we will actually have a bigger global symmetry in the theory than what I put in, yes, because in the neutral current sector, I have a separate SUC rotation for the up-type quarks and for the down-type quarks, even after I add the masses on the TEV brain. Okay, so I have these two separate SUC rotations, and I can actually use these two SU3 matrices, both in the up and in the down sector, to diagonalize the kinetic mixing terms on the Planck brain. Okay, so I can go into a basis where everything is diagonal, and the only thing I have is some non-uniform but diagonal kinetic terms on the Planck brain for the different, for the right-handed quarks. So that will still leave a bunch of U1 symmetries separately for all the flavors unbroken. So that means that clearly, you know, there will be no flavor changing neutral currents at all. Okay, so the symmetry is protecting you from the flavor changing neutral currents, even due to the exchange of the Z prime and KT gluon, etc. Okay. Now in the charge current sector, of course, what I said is not true, because in the charge current sector, the up and the down quarks are connected via the interaction with the W. So instead of having a separate SU3 symmetry for up and down, I will only have an overall SU3 symmetry. So that means that actually I don't have enough symmetry to eliminate all flavor changing effects in that sector. So the CKM mixing will be generated, and you can do a very simple count of parameters just to check that you get the same number of phases and the same number of real parameters that you would get in the ordinary CKM mechanism. Mm-hmm. So from the 5D point of view, if you try to understand what the origin of this JIM mechanism is, so again, what we would say is that in the bulk, I have a complete flavor symmetry. So these bulk mass parameters that are telling you where these fermion wave functions are localized, they would be completely uniform for the left-handed and for the right-handed quarks. And I would also say that, because I was requiring that the TEV brain is also as flavored diagonal as possible, that I would only get a universal mass for the up-type quarks, so this would completely be proportional to the unit matrix, and the similar one for the down-type quarks. And the only source for flavor violation would be this kinetic mixing term, where this kappa is a kinetic mixing matrix on the Planck brain. So there would be two of these guys, one for the up-type quarks and one for the down-type quarks. And so the only source, when you try to do the KK decomposition for this complicated setup, for flavor violation, would be a single boundary condition on the Planck brain, which is involving these kinetic mixing terms. However, when you do the KK decomposition, you know that one boundary condition can always be exchanged for an overall normalization condition for these fermions. So what you can do is you can actually do the entire KK decomposition without regard to this one boundary condition, and all your wave functions will be completely fixed up to an overall normalization. So that will tell you that all your wave functions will actually be completely flavor independent. And the only flavor dependence will come in when you, in the end, will try to normalize your wave functions to be canonical, your fermions to be canonically normalized. So the structure of your fermion wave functions will be such that there is a flavor independent profile for these fermions. Okay, so these guys don't have any flavor quantum number. And then there will be one three-component vector that is telling them which direction in flavor space a particular solution, a particular KK mode is actually pointing into. Okay, so the important point is that there will be a point-by-point orthogonality of these wave functions, and the orthogonality is coming due to the fact that you will have these normalization vectors that are orthogonal to each other. Okay, so you can deter, you can check that these directions in flavor space will actually be determined by the eigenvectors of these kinetic mixing terms that you added onto the Planck ring, and the eigenvalues will determine the masses themselves. Okay, so you can show really literally that again these normalization vectors are the eigenvectors of these kinetic mixing matrices. So they will be orthogonal to each other. In the neutral current sector, you will always be taking the scalar product of two of these normalization vectors. So that means that if you're talking about the same flavor, you will always get a delta function. It will always be proportional to the product of two unitary matrices. And in the charge current sector, you will take the difference of the rotation matrix in the up and the down type sector. So this would be very, very similar to the way the CKM matrix shows up in the standard model. Okay, very good. So if this was it, if I didn't have to worry about a large top mass, then I could just apply this model as is, and you know I would really get a complete flavor symmetry, a complete gym mechanism in the theory. Okay, so for example, if I try to only apply this mechanism for the first two generations, I could also do that. Okay, and the reason is because the corrections of the wave functions compared to their zero mode values will be always proportional to the masses of the setup, and so it will be always proportional to MC, the largest mass in the first two generations times the characteristic scale, the TV scale, so that will be very small. However, if I also want to include the third generation, the top mass, then I can't get away with it very easily. And the reason is, of course, that these corrections of the wave functions, so these are corrections not of the third generation wave function with respect to the second generation wave function, which is usually a problem. Yes, what I did here is I made sure that all the wave functions are completely flavor universal. So there won't be a difference between the up and the top wave function, but there will be a difference between all the wave functions and their zero mode values. Okay, so that will mean that there will be overall shifts in the values of the gauge couplings of the standard model fermions from their standard model value. Okay, and since I have insisted that this is actually universal for all three generations, you can actually encode this again in an overall shift in the S parameter. Okay, and what you find is that these corrections are actually still very large. Okay, so I made sure that there are no flavor, there are no constraints from flavor because I introduced a complete gym mechanism. However, the price for that was to introduce large shifts to the electroweak precision observables themselves. Okay, so clearly you can see that if you want to make sure that the S parameter is below some experimental bound that may be reasonable, maybe still a little bit lenient, you can see that actually the KK gauge bosons will still have to be very heavy in this particular setup, because this is 1 over R prime, so the KK gauge bosons are still a factor of 2 heavier than this. So you would still be over 10 TeV, and this would still not be an interesting mechanism. Okay. And what I should also emphasize is that I cannot play the same game that they were trying to play with the S-parameter in Hixless theories, namely, okay, fine, let me just, you know, pick a particular value for C where the S-parameter will be vanishing. In this case, the S-parameter doesn't vanish for any value of C. Okay, the point is that the corrections, if I get to the point when C is bigger than 1/2, actually the corrections will again be very large, and the reason for that is that of course in that case the wave functions on the will start to be localized on the Planck plane, but I still want to make sure that I get a mass that is as heavy as the top out of it, so I have to start cranking up the mass that I put on the TeV brain, so these corrections will still, you know, they will not become small at all. Okay, so if you are thinking about Hixless theories, one approach could just be to say, well, there was one tuning in Hixless theories anyway, namely by picking an appropriate value for the bulk fermion mass of the left-handed guys. And I could just say, well, you know, okay, so the price for the Gym mechanism was to introduce another S-parameter that is negative, and adding a positive contribution to the S-parameter is something that you can always do. So what you could do in this case is to just add an IR brain localized kinetic term, and that will effectively look like a contribution to the S parameter, and in total you would still just have one tuning. Okay, so that's what you could say about Hixless theories. Now in the other setups where you are trying to get away without any tuning, you are even trying to solve the little hierarchy problem in the minimal composite Higgs type models, you don't want to do any tuning, okay, so this would not be a good approach. So the question is there any other way? I'm sorry? So this is the effective S parameter for 1 over R prime something, but I forget. One of them is probably 1 TeV, this is probably 1 TeV, and this is probably, I don't know, 2 TeV or something like this. I guess, you know, it looks like there's a factor of 4 between them, so there's probably a factor of 2 in their value. So this is probably 1 TeV and this is probably 2 TeV for 1 over R prime as a function of C left. But I forgot. I have to look at what the exact numbers. I think it's 1 and 2. I'm not sure. Do you remember? That's right. So for S equals 1, let's see, S equals 1 is roughly 2 TeV. Okay, so this may be 2 and 4. I don't know. I mean, something really large. Okay, so this is certainly not the way to go. Okay, so what we want to do is we want to somehow uncouple the issue of getting a really large top mass from electroweak precision observables and from this flavor symmetry. Okay, so a really nice way to do that has been proposed in a slightly different context by Agache, Contino, Darold, and Pomerol. And what they were arguing is that the main reason why you're getting these very large corrections in that particular case was to the Z to BB bar coupling, the left-handed Z to BB bar coupling, was because of the charge assignments that you have chosen for your right-handed fermions under the custodial symmetry. Okay, and the usual story is that you have to have a custodial symmetry in order to protect yourself from a T-parameter. But there is nothing that tells you what exactly the charge assignments under this custodial SU2 right have to be for the standard model fermions. Of course, if you want to only have the standard model fermions, then there's probably just a unique assignment. But if you're allowing yourself having additional fermions to appear in your spectrum, then you can pick different representations for your standard model fermions under SU2 right. Yes. Of course, the representations under SU2 left are completely fixed because those are, you know, the standard model gauge quantum numbers. But this is not fixed. Okay, and what they were saying is that a particularly nice charge assignment would be to take the right-handed top quark to be a singlet under both SU to left and SU to right. And the reason for that would be because in that case, when you are adding a very large top mass, it will actually not affect the bottom sector at all. Yes, the problem is that if you add some different representation here, for example, the standard one is to take this to be a singlet under SU to left and a doublet under SU to right. At the same time, when you are cranking up the top mass in order to get a large physical top, you will also crank up some coupling that affects the bottom sector, and that will give rise to a large correction in these electroweak precision observables. And what we have actually done is our S parameter is actually the remnant of the Z to BB bar deviation in this case from the standard model value, but now we don't have a deviation between the first and the third generation. We have a deviation between all standard model fermions and the standard model value. Okay, so that's why we are trying to use sort of the same trick as they were proposing. Okay, so there are sort of two possibilities. One is to be maximalistic with maintaining as much flavor symmetry as possible. So in this case, we could take the new representations, so these, by new representations I mean under this custodial symmetry, for all three generations, and still try to maintain some level of SU3 flavor symmetry that affects all the three generations. Okay. So in this case, what I could do is I could break the SU3 symmetry for the right-handed up-type quarks in the bulk, and especially on the brain. So don't add a universal mass term on the TEV brain for the up-type quarks, but still add a universal mass term for the down-type quarks. Okay, so in this case, at least in the neutral current sector, the flavor symmetry for the down-type quarks is still completely unbroken. And again, it's crucial that the top right is a singlet. Yes, if the top right was not a singlet, then no matter what I did, this large top mass, this breaking in the up sector of the flavor symmetry would still feed into the down sector. And only because this guy is a singlet will it actually not, the breaking of the flavor symmetry will not feed into the down sector. So in the down sector, the flavor symmetry is still completely unbroken. And then what I can do is I can actually introduce the flavor violation on the Planck brain only in the down sector. Okay, so I will now add only one kinetic mixing term in the down sector for the down right quarks. And because in the down sector the flavor symmetry in the bulk and then the TEV brain is unbroken, I will still get an exact gym mechanism in this theory. Okay. So that's good. So I will really not get a constraint from flavor changing neutral currents on this setup. However, I still have to worry about electroweak precision constraints. And the reason for that is that I'm still keeping the left-handed flavor symmetry in the bulk unbroken. That's important, yes, because I don't want to break the flavor symmetry in the down sector at all. And in the bulk, you know, up and down are in the same representation. So I have to have a universal C left still in the bulk for all three generations. Okay, but in order to get a large enough top mass, I have to make the C left to be as small as possible. Otherwise, I just won't be able to. So I have to have the C left still to be slightly below this 1/2. Okay, now it's for all three generations. Okay, so that will tell you that you will induce some small shifts in the couplings also for the left-handed up and charm quarks. Okay, for the down quarks, we know that these new representations protect you from getting large corrections in the coupling, but it doesn't protect you in the up sector. Okay, so what we did here is we have plotted the region that is allowed. So this is the curve that is telling you that if you're below this curve in the C parameter, then the shift in the coupling of up left will be too large. And if you are above this curve, then you will have to introduce a too large a non-perturbative brain localized Yukawa coupling for the top quark in order to get the heavy enough top. Okay, so there is an allowed region here, and we have just.
I just want to make, I'm not understanding your setup. Where is the flavor breaking? Just the hierarchies of the masses coming from in the for the up sector.
So from in the up sector, again, I'm just adding now a different mass on the TEV brain for the, but I'm not. Yeah, so it is coming.
Just added on the TEV.
Added on the TEV brain, exactly. And in the down sector, it's coming from the brain localized kinetic terms.
You're assuming there's, I see, you're assuming there's a U1 cube symmetry, so all the mixing is coming from the down sector.
Exactly, yes. That's what we are doing.
All right.
Okay. And so, again, there will be no flavor changing effects, but there will be shifts in electrolytic precision observables. And here there is a table of, you know, how large these shifts are going to be. And again, clearly, you know, this is a point that is chosen to lie within the allowed range of of parameters, so somewhere here, and you can see that the kind of shifts you get is, let's say, 0.3, 0.4% in the couplings of the light quarks, and that's still consistent with electrolytic precision observables. Okay, so that's one possibility. So we get not much flavor physics, but you have to worry about electrolytic precision. In the second possibility, we will be sort of minimal in trying to modify our original setup. So instead of using these new representations for all three generations, we will only use it for the third generation. So in this case, there will be no problem with electrolytic precision observables, obviously, because, you know, I'm not adding a large top mass. I can take, because I'm breaking the symmetry between the first two generations and the third generation anyway, I don't have to take the C to be equal for the first two and the third generation. Okay, so there will be clearly no problem in the electrolytic precision sector. However, now flavor changing neutral currents will be generated since the bulk will no longer be completely flavor symmetric. Okay, so we still have a flavor symmetry in the first two generations, but the flavor symmetry in the between the two generations and the third will be broken. Okay, so in the up sector, because the kinetic because the top mass is very strongly localized on the top is very strongly localized on the TEV brain, in order to get the right-handed top is very strongly localized on the TEV brain, the kinetic mixing actually basically only affects the first two generations, because the wave function for the third generation on the Planck brain is very, very small, so that you wouldn't expect any flavor-changing effects in the up sector, because you only get this diagonal 2x2 matrix there. Okay, but in the down sector, you will get flavor-changing effects, because the bottom right will be on the UV brain. Yes, you don't want it to be localized. It has the same. There is a flavor symmetry there. Yes, so it has the same C's, the bottom right, as the other light generations. Okay, so so there will be flavor-changing neutral currents in this case. So this will not have a gym structure. But you can actually show that the structure of flavor-changing neutral currents will still be such that the couplings, the flavor-violating couplings to Z, Z prime, or, you know, whatever your favorite neutral gauge boson is, will still have the CKM suppressions in it. Okay, so that's one thing that you can show. Clearly, you know, without the third generation, there would be no flavor changing effect at all. So if there would be no mixing between the third generation and the first two, then there wouldn't be any flavor violating effect. So you obviously have to get explicitly these CKM factors appearing. And on top of that, you know, you can ask what will set the overall scale of the flavor violating couplings in this case. And of course, there are two possible sources for that, namely that you have a non-universal diagonal coupling due to the different wave functions of the fermions in the bulk, and of course the fact that you can have brain-localized kinetic mixing terms that are just different. For the left-handed fields, we didn't add any kinetic mixing term, Yes, because he added all the kinetic mixing in the right-handed sector. So in that case, the only source for overall flavor violation is from the fact that before you diagonalize your mass matrices, your the couplings to the Z or all the other KK gauge bosons are actually diagonal but not universal.
Okay.
And so that, but that means that this delta will directly be proportional to the difference of the diagonal couplings in this setup. Okay. So for example, you can check that the coupling, the flavor violating coupling to the Z, will be directly proportional to the shift into Z of the Z to BB bar coupling. Okay, and you know that this shift in the Z to BB bar coupling has to be sufficiently small in order for you to pass the electroweak precision observables. So if this guy is less than 0.1% or 0.2% than the way that we are told it has to be, then of course these flavor violating couplings with the addition of these additional CKM factors will also be sufficiently small. Okay. And for the right-handed coupling, for the right-handed fields, you don't have this direct relation because there's an additional source for the delta from the brain localized kinetic mixing terms. However, there is another factor that is in your favor, namely the fact that the right-handed quarks are all localized on the Planck brain, and that's where all the KK gauge bosons wave functions are suppressed by a logarithm because they are KK gauge bosons. So all the four Fermi operators due to the Z prime and KK gluon prime will actually have this structure here. Yeah? So there is the CKM suppression and there is an additional wave function suppression of the gauge bosons on the Planck brane. So you can show that for a 3TeV KK gluon or KKZ, this will be fine. Okay. And so you can ask then, you know, what is the interpretation in terms of the CFT for this kind of gym mechanism? And again, as I said already, the CFT interpretation of the standard model fermions are that they are a mixture of elementary and composite fields, as the elementary fields are basically the how much of it is on the Planck brain and the rest would be the composite fields. And what would happen in this particular case is that the source of flavor violation is that there is a misalignment among the kinetic terms of the elementary and the composite fields. And then the flavor would be protected due to the fact that the conformal field theory has a global symmetry. Okay. However, you know that the real interpretation of a CFT having a global symmetry is to literally put a gauge symmetry into the bulk of the five-dimensional theory. Okay, so these symmetries that I was just referring to as U3 cube in the bulk and U3 on the brain, those actually have to, if I take the CFT interpretation seriously, those really have to correspond to real gauge bosons in the theory. Okay? So then this kind of setup would necessarily predict that there are flavor gauge bosons. Okay, so there would be a U3 cube, so there would be a lot of these new gauge bosons. Of course, they would not have any very light mode in this particular setup. As at least for the right-handed guys, that's the flavor symmetry that is broken on the Planck brain. There will certainly be no states that are below the TeV scale. Now, for the left-handed guy, which remains still the IR, there is a mode that is somewhat lighter than the TeV scale. It's suppressed by the square root of the log of the Voigt factor. Okay. So then one question that you should ask is, will these flavor gauge bosons themselves mediate flavor changing neutral currents? Yes. So you can actually show that the structure of the flavor violating operator that come from the exchange of these flavor gauge bosons actually is identical to the operators that you would get from a W exchange. Okay. So that tells you that there will really be no flavor constraints. There will only be so this will look like exactly like the standard model contribution to KK bar mixing. Yes? So there wouldn't be any large additional off-diagonal terms. It just tells you that this overall factor has to be smaller than a standard model loop factor divided by the W mass. Okay, so for example, if this would literally be the W mass, then it would tell you that this coupling has to be smaller than the standard model coupling divided by 4 pi. Okay, if this is bigger than, you know, I mean, you get the idea. Okay, so this was the first set of models, and again, here the idea was to try to get a real gym mechanism in an extra dimensional theory, but we gave up on explaining the flavor hierarchy. Another sort of related idea would be to look for in the models that have a slightly higher scale than the Higgsless model. So we are not trying to go with the KK masses for the gauge bosons to 5 or 600 GeV, but more like the 2 TeV setup, like these RS flavor models. And we try to get a theory where we do get a solution for the flavor problem without introducing large flavor change in neutral currents. Okay, and for this, I would like to use the recent suggestion of Liam Fitzpatrick, Gilad Perez, and Lisa Randall, where they were proposing that I take the Yukawa couplings, the standard model Yukawa couplings, on the TeV brain and actually feed them into the bulk masses as spurions for the expressions for the C parameter that is determining the localization of the fermions. Started to jump around, I guess. Should I try to? I don't see that it's.
I think it's okay.
It's okay. I shouldn't touch it, yes. Okay, so the question is, you know, how can I get a full model in this case, and how large will the flavor change in neutral currents be? Okay, so this is an idea that is not very new, I think. I mean, Riccardo Ratazzi and Zaffaroni were already talking about something like this several years ago, and their proposal was that you have again the UV brain and the IR brain, and flavor is broken by many operators on the UV brain, and the reason why we don't see large flavor violations is because this flavor breaking has to be communicated through the bulk, and there are only two operators, two bulk fields that are not strongly relevant for the propagation, for the communication of the flavor violation from the Planck brain to the TeV brain. Okay, so that would tell you that there are only two operators whose wave functions, whose VEF profiles would not be very strongly peaked close to the Planck brain and would exponentially fall off, but only these two guys have sort of a close to flat profile. And in that case, if all the other sources for flavor violation would die out by the time you get to the IR brain, of course the IR brain is where the Higgs fields are localized, and that's where you can write down Yukawa couplings. So if these are the only sources, then you will only be able to write down the standard model Yukawa couplings on the IR brain, and then they would also assume, just like we did before, that there is a large bulk flavor symmetry or gauge symmetry in this setup. So this would again protect you from flavor change in neutral currents, but just like our previous setup, would not explain the origin of the hierarchy. So the main new ingredient again would be that, of course, we are assuming that we have again this bulk flavor symmetry, and we have these two operators, these two bulk scalar fields that are breaking the flavor symmetry, but Riccardo just neglected the higher dimensional operators because he said, well, it's a higher dimensional operator, so it's suppressed by some ratio of scales. However, of course, in our case, the point is that small splittings in the bulk masses for these bulk fermions, which will give rise to the zero modes that will be identified to the standard model fermions, will actually be very important, because these small splittings will get exponentiated because there is this really large running from the Planck scale to the IR brain, and there is a lot of room, and so small splittings will give rise to large hierarchies in the fermion masses. Okay. So the idea would be that these brain Yukawa couplings, again, they are the result of the profile of some bulk scalar field, and the same bulk scalar fields can couple through some higher dimensional operators to the bulk masses and give rise to some small splittings in the bulk masses of these fermions, and that would give rise then to the fermion hierarchy. Okay, so this would be then the kind of setup that we have, the C parameters that are controlling where the different fermions are localized, and there will be some universal flavor conserving term, flavor singlet term, and then there would be these additional terms that are coming from the higher dimensional operators that are telling you how much these bulk fields are feeding into the couplings of the fermions. Okay, so from this point, you can do the standard RS analysis for wave functions. So you have these little F factors or matrices. You know, these are the wave functions of the standard model fermions on the IR brain. They will come into the expression of the standard model fermion mass matrices because you have these Yukawa couplings on the brain, and of course the wave functions, as I showed you in one of the first slides, will come in. And then you want to get the standard RS gym mechanism, and here is a nice table from Gilad and Kaustub of, you know, what kind of hierarchy you would actually like to get in the in these fermion wave functions. I guess I won't go through the details. This is a bit too difficult, but I can just maybe show two very simple limiting cases about checking how large the flavor-changing neutral currents will be in this particular setup. What I can do is I can look at the bulk mass for the left-handed guys. Again, there is a universal piece, and then there are these two terms that are coming from these bulk scalars feeding into the expression for the bulk masses. And I can take the limit when one of these guys is actually not going to feed into the expression. So I can take the limit when R up or R down is zero. Okay, so I can, if I take, for example, the limit when R up is zero, that will tell you that the bulk masses are actually aligned with the down-type Yukawa couplings. So I can go into a basis with the down-type Yukawa couplings and the left-handed wave functions are diagonal at the same time. Okay, so that will tell you that there cannot be any flavor-changing neutral current in the down sector, because in this setup, everything is completely diagonal, yes, in the system. And so in this case, there can be flavor-changing neutral currents only in the up sector. Okay. Now, if Ru is not exactly zero, yes, but it's very small, then of course these couplings in the down sector will be suppressed by the scale R up squared. Yes, because I know that in the limit R up goes to zero, flavor-changing neutral currents will only show up in the up sector. Yes. So these flavor-changing neutral currents suppressing the down involve the down quarks have to be suppressed by the square, you know, of this ratio. Okay. So this is the case that was promoted by Gilad and Lisa and Leon. Okay. Now, so the question that we were asking is this actually the kind of case that we are really getting when we analyze the general parameter space of the theory? And what we find is that actually that's not quite the right case. In fact, what we are finding is that this parameter R that is telling you whether the bulk masses for the left-handed quarks are aligned more with the up-type or with the down-type Yukawa matrices are actually going to be different, and they really want to be aligned with the up-type quarks. And that's actually not that hard to see, because the real hierarchy is actually showing up in the up-type quarks. Yes, that's where you get the real hierarchy, and the hierarchy in the down-type quarks is much more mild. So you can just explicitly check that the splittings in these Cs are actually much more similar. So these are the kind of numbers that you get from a generic RS gym type solution from Gilad and Kaustub. And what you can check is that the Cs in the left-handed sector, they really want to be aligned with the seeds in the up sector, you can see that these splittings, actually, if I divide this by 3, I almost exactly reproduce one set of splittings from the other set of splittings. Okay, but if I go if I try to use the splittings in the down sector, yes, first of all, I would have to multiply by a pretty big number, yes, which is inappropriate for a higher dimensional operator, and it actually doesn't even align properly. Okay, so what we find is that really you would expect for you to get a good hierarchy that you are in the opposite limit, where you wouldn't actually eliminate this term, but you would rather eliminate that term. Okay. And then you can actually go even further and say that actually the hierarchy in the down sector is not that large, so I could go ahead and be even more optimistic and actually say that maybe these down type Yukawa couplings don't feed into the expressions for the bulk masses at all, and it's only the up type Yukawa couplings. Okay. So for example, this could be the case if the YD is really not a bulk field, but YD is a brain field, and only Y up is a bulk field. Okay, so in this case, I can, of course, go into the basis where Y up is diagonal. So all my bulk masses are going to be diagonal. The up type wave functions will be aligned. The left-handed wave functions will be aligned with Y up. So there will be no flavor-changing neutral currents in the up sector at all. And because I didn't add a non-universality in the bulk masses, for the right-handed down quarks, there will be no flavor-changing neutral currents in the down-right sector either. Okay, so the only flavor-changing neutral currents in this particular setup will be D-left, 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 D-left type operators. Okay, so those are not the most dangerous ones, and we can actually check how large these operators are going to be. And the other reason why I like this particular setup very much is because in this case I can actually solve the problem exactly. In the previous case, the numerical problem is just too complicated to get an exact solution that matches all the standard model masses and mixing angles. In this particular case, actually you can go through, and I won't bore you with that, you can go through, and this is a kind of solution that you can find, and I can just literally scan over the parameter space of this restricted set of solutions, and I see a sample point, which of course means it's the best point that you were able to find. You can see really all the Yukawa couplings are roughly of order 1, except there is one that is a little bit tuned, is a fifth, and that's in order to basically make the down mass a little bit lighter than you would expect from a relation of MD over MS is this. So okay, so if these were the parameters that you see in a Lagrangian, then you would probably not be worrying about the flavor hierarchy problem. Of course, you know, it would be better if this number wasn't the fifth, but okay. And you can check what the scale of the flavor-changing neutral current from the KK gluon exchange is. It turns out to be about 10 to the 3 TeV, and because it's a left-left-left-left type operator, that is actually within the allowed range. And not only that, but actually what you see is that all the operators, all the flavor-changing neutral currents that you generate are exactly proportional to the CKM matrix itself, so there will be no new source for CP violation in this particular setup. So there are different definitions of what you call minimal flavor violation. In one definition that Buras likes, this actually would even be called minimal flavor violation, and the structure is not very strongly constrained. Okay, so after playing with warped extra dimensions, there's still a lot of room to play with them, and one reason to play with the fermion masses and is of course one is to get the fermion mass hierarchy, and the other is to make sure that you actually don't introduce too large flavor-changing neutral currents into your favorite model of electrovic symmetry breaking. One type of theory that I was promoting here was not explaining the fermion mass hierarchy, but it was really introducing a gym mechanism, so the flavor-changing neutral currents were non-existent or very strongly suppressed, depending on which particular implementation you were looking at. And for the theorists where the KK gauge bosons are at least, you know, few TeV, 1 or 2 TeV, you can go a little bit further and also find a solution to the flavor problem without introducing large flavor changing neutral currents by doing this game with shining the some of the flavor violations from the Planck brain to the TeV brain and then dynamically generate the other set of color couplings. Okay. Almost on time.
So is there a CFT interpretation of the YY dagger corrections to the fault counts?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it almost looks like a Higgs loop, but the Higgs is a composite on the TV brain itself.
Yes, it certainly cannot be a Higgs loop. Yes.
But it has the structure of a loop correction in the CFT, it seems.
Yes.
So I think that somehow it's related to this question of what a global symmetry of the bulk means, right? So if you have, you know, if you have a global symmetry in the bulk without, and you just insist that you're not going to gauge it, right? There's nothing wrong with that from the 5D perspective, right? And you can ask, well, what does that mean from the CFT perspective? Right? It's not a gauged, traditional interpretation of a symmetry of the CFT. And I think that, I'm not sure I know the answer, because somehow it's, what you're doing is you're allowing yourself to have small, it's kind of funny from the CFT perspective, because there's no reason why the dimension of all these different operators should be the same, right? Somehow in the 5D theory, it's natural from symmetries to split those dimensions a little bit. I'm not answering the question, but I'm just saying somehow I think it's related to the question of how do you interpret global symmetry in the bulk.
But again, you know, I could just gauge it. I'm not insisting that I didn't gauge the flavor symmetry. In fact, I'm really thinking of it as a gauged flavor symmetry in the bulk, so I'm not sure that is very relevant.
These fields, if the U3, whatever, yeah.
So those are gauged.
Symmetry was gauged.
Yeah, it is gauged.
If you have some effects that break that, those would then be effects that break the gauge symmetry.
That's right, yeah.
So
absolutely, yes. So in the first setup, yes, I was actually worried about it. I haven't done the analysis for the second setup yet, but I mean, I have looked at these operators in the first setup. Yes, this is a KK. I'm sorry. This is a flavor gauge boson exchange. Yes, this is the result of an exchange of a flavor gauge boson.
Somehow, if those effects are small, that are breaking the flavor symmetry, that the flavor gauge bosons will be correspondingly lighter, somewhat lighter, right? I mean, that'd be a problem.
Well, again, you know, it's not necessarily the case. Yeah. So first of all, yes. So I can play with this coupling. Yes, how small it is. That's what you are saying, and you would expect that those couplings also show up in the mass of the flavor gauge boson, but not necessarily. Yes, in some like.
I'm just trying to think about John's question. I'm not trying.
So I think this is not related to his question. That's what I'm trying
to
say.
Play with, but I'm just trying to understand the parametric.
So what I'm trying to say is, I don't think the flavor gauge bosons have to do with the answer to this question.
Can you break the flavor symmetries on the UV brains? You need to break the bulk symmetry.
Here?
Yes.
You are, yeah. That's what you're saying here. Flavor symmetry is broken on the UV brain by a lot, whatever sources that you want. Yes. Not just Y up and Y down, but a lot of sources. There are a lot of sources for flavor violation. And these guys, the reason why they have a non-vanishing expectation value is because they, you know, they get sourced by those operators on the Planck brain.
So if you break the symmetries on the UV plane, you are allowed to write non-diagonal affinity terms for the fermions. They will introduce another source of breaking, free wall symmetry breaking.
Yeah. It's true.
Do you worry about that?
No. No.
We're assuming they are negligible.
They are just assuming they are diagonal. I would probably have to, you know, in a general analysis, I would have to give you a reason why those are not there. Yeah, in principle, the same operators, for example, could show up there. They have the same structure. I think.
They can also have a different structure because they come from another source.
There could be many sources, yes. Yeah.
So
I would have to cook up some reason why there is no coupling on the.
Okay, let me ask another.
Yeah.
So if you leave the gate, this flavor gate symmetry unbroken on the UV brain,
yes.
And the only source of breaking is the bag of this Yukawa field,
yes.
Why up and why down?
That's probably fine.
Will you give a mask to all the gauge bosons?
I think so, yeah. I mean, you know that this breaks all the flavor symmetry of the standard model, so I think the answer is yes. So you want to say that I shouldn't...
How big is the value of this? I mean,
maybe
asking how large would be the mask?
Yeah.
In this case, it would be the mask would be proportional.
Proportional directly to these guys.
So the bounds on the FCNCs will be really on the bag of these guys, not on the mass of the people. It's always G over M.
Yeah. So I think, you know, these are roughly of the order of 1 over R to some power, 3 halves, so these valves in the bulk. Yes? And then, of course, you have to put in work factors to get flavor changing effects.
It's another possibility.
So that may be, yeah, that may be a little bit more natural, yes. And then I also don't, what I like about that is that, well, of course, yeah, so what I like about that is that I don't have to worry about, you know, the thing that we like to worry about, fermions. Yes. Because if I have something that is broken here and here, then there may be a massless scalar mode also. So
if you break the flavor symmetry in the UV brain, you'll have crossing bosons.
That's right. If I break it on both brains, and of course I also break it
in
the bulk.
The brain and from this you come
yeah. But if I also break it, if I break it on the brain, both brains and the bulk, then of course there is, you know, then the goldstone will become massive.
It's not broken.
It is, yeah, because, you know, the Y up valve.
From the Y up valve.
Yeah. Oh, you mean, okay.
It can be a spontaneous break.
Yeah.
It's giving a valve to the Y up.
So when they said that it's marginal, then they mean that what the Ys were dimension 1. What's marginal? The Yukawa coupling or
the operator that this thing couples to us in the CFT. So it's close to dimension 4, a little bit bigger than dimension 4. Yes, that's the thing that we discussed in the morning when you ran out somewhere. I'm sorry?
Why does it matter? Why is dimension 4 special?
Because that's doesn't run a whole lot. Yes, you don't want it to either peak very much here or peak very much there. You want it to kind of be flat.
So it's just that the profile is...
The profile is close to constant, yes. Actually, what is funny is if the profile is not constant, you can still solve the equations for the fermion zero modes.
Mm-hmm.
It it will be different. You know, usually, you know, you have the z over r to the 2 plus minus c. You can actually exactly solve it even with a profile for these guys. But it turns out that if you give it a profile, it's harder to get a hierarchy. I would have thought it's easier, but it turns out that it's harder to get a hierarchy. So you don't, you actually want it to be close to constant.
And the other reason why you want it to be, because if you choose to go like z, then it's like enough part, so you don't want that.
I didn't hear that question.